I'm your host, Jenny Worthington, and the following interview is from my series, Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness.
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to have you all here for my retreat, Giving Animals a Voice, Bridging the Gap Between Human and Animal Consciousness. And it's very exciting to have my guest, Ana Maria Vasquez, on with me. She is a master teacher, a master energy worker. She has a deep intuitive connection with all things nature and animal and people related. And she is going to share with us some of the stories she has of her experiences with animals and with the natural world that will shed some light for all of us on intelligence, animal consciousness. I think this is the time people are waking up to the fact that we're not the only intelligent animals in the world. And we need to be aware of the nature that's around us and the importance that animals play in our lives and in the health of the earth. So Ana Maria, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to hear your stories and what you have to say about this whole topic.
Oh my goodness, Jenny, thank you so much. First of all, for stepping out and coordinating this, I know exactly what it takes to put together an online offering. And so thank you. And thank you for including me, because you're absolutely right. This is the time for us to have these conversations. And what I find every day is I meet folks that feel so alone in it. They feel like they're the only one that has these beliefs, that feels this connection, this profound connection to animals and nature. And I am here to remind everyone, you certainly are not alone, and to lean into your weirdness, if anything, because that's where that magic is.
Yes, yes. Well, so how did you get started on this whole journey of yours? Is this something you've known you had from childhood, like a very high sensitivity to energy and an ability to really relate to animals on a higher level than what most people could?
Well, I would say that I considered myself, and everyone else around me considered me, pretty normal. You know, there were a couple instances that we couldn't explain certain happenings, but most of all, I would have just, and I did for many decades of my life, just describe myself as someone who had a strong connection to the animals. You know, I had a huge heart for them. I always felt like I knew what they needed, or I could feel them, you know, calling me for things, but I would have never, ever called myself an animal communicator. But it turns out that it has to do with our understanding of our own wiring and of how that telepathic communication happens. So often we are getting the messages, but we don't have a frame of reference, and we certainly don't understand it. So once I moved through my own disbelief and my own yearning to connect with the animals and nature, I began to understand how much we really are all wired as humans to do this. And we just have a misunderstanding. We don't understand the mechanics behind it, and we get stuck in this self-doubt. So it is the perfect storm of some physical mechanics going on, flowing through our senses, and then also energetics, where we've got some obstacles, some blocks. And I have learned that working interdimensionally like that, that we can really unpack your intuitive backpack much easier. And I like to think about those abilities like a backpack, because all of the hikers in the group can think, like, you can never get to the stuff that's in your backpack. You can't see where your guidebook is. You can't find your granola. But somebody else can look in and go, oh, here's your camera. Oh, here's the map. And then you have a different perspective on it. So this is about us all leaning in to that belief that we inherently have a connection to the animals and to the natural world, and we can develop it like a muscle, like any other muscle.
Well, did you have somebody that sort of prompted you to realize that that was what was happening? Because at some point, you need, it's almost like you need somebody outside of yourself, like you say, to point out what's in your backpack and say, you know, this is not just you. Cause I know that I have a lot of animals. I pick up stuff all the time and I just figure it's me and the fact that I know the animals that I have. And so they do something and I immediately think, oh, I haven't fed them, you know, they're still waiting for their breakfast, you know, kind of thing. Well, is that me picking up them saying, hey, buddy, let's get some breakfast? Or is it just the fact that I know that it's breakfast time and I feed them, you know, in the morning? So,
well, and that is the inherent conundrum that happens when we're trying to learn how to communicate with, not just connect with animals, but communicate with animals, because we're using our own animals, because of course, you know, they're there, they're our easiest access. And yet we've got all that self-doubt, we've got all of this other stuff. Well, I already know that about this animal, or I already know that. So it causes us to second guess. And for me, it was a combination of a couple things. The first was a big kind of life tsunami where everything, the rug gets pulled out from under you and your life changes immediately. And so I lost my job, I lost my home. In the span of 18 months, all sorts of different crazy things like that happened. And I realized I was at a cross point and that I needed to make some decisions, and that all of these things that we hear in the spiritual realm about, you know, you create your own reality and all of these things, they're either true and can be tested, like taken into my life, my living laboratory, and tested, or they're just these spiritual platitudes designed to make us feel better to get through this really difficult life. And so when I went through that dark night of the soul, I used that time to make it a choice point. I can either go back to the life I already had because I had a great professional reputation, or it was time to see what else was going on and what else is happening beyond what can be seen. And for years, I had had readings from different readers who said, oh, you're such a powerful energy worker. You've got this huge connection to the animals. And I'm like, yeah. You have to say that because I just paid you all this money. And you say that to everyone. And wouldn't I be the first one to know if I had some kind of special abilities? Well, I'm here to tell you that you are not the first one to know very often, and that I owed huge apologies to a lot of different readers for, you know, like blowing them off and shrugging them off, because we don't recognize it because of the self-doubt, because of the lack of confidence, because of the lack of understanding of the mechanics. It's not even just a worthiness issue, although for a lot of people, that's a big one. It's the actual mechanics. And so I took everything into my life, my living laboratory, and I made that, like, let's see what happens. Let's be the alchemist and see what happens. And so I went off on this vision quest. Me and my dog packed up to the Redwoods, and I did this vision quest, and I came back, and nothing happened. And I was like, oh, crap. Here I am testing this out, and I didn't even hallucinate, you know, from lack of sleep or food. I just, nothing happened. And I had had visions before, so I thought, oh, if I set up all these, you know, parameters, this is going to be great. You know, I'm going to get my 5-year plan. I'm going to get the buzz in the head, and my abilities will be there. And I was just tired and hungry. Nothing happened. And yet, knowing now what I know about energy and the hindsight of looking back, that vision quest put things into motion. And when we do that with that kind of intention and in that clarity and in that alignment, things are put into motion, whether we see it or not. And so sure enough, just like that, in the weeks following, things started to happen. I started to get very clear guidance on next steps. And within weeks, a tree started talking to me. And it's so funny. This is why I say I'm the poster child for this, because I'm like, if I could do it, anybody can do this. And so the tree starts talking to me, and I start testing the things that the tree tells me, because I'm like, oh, maybe I just lost my mind. Like, that vision quest put me over the edge. Oh my goodness. But I was able to get validation on the things the tree was telling me, all sorts of different things, from the kind of tree it was, what had happened to it throughout its life, some other outside things that I had asked it about that I could then validate later. So I'm building this relationship with this tree, and I'm being completely honest with this tree going, I still think I'm crazy. You know, don't take it personally. Her name was Ruby, but I still think I'm crazy. So I'm going to keep testing this because, you know, I know enough to go commit myself if this is going down the wrong road. And I said to her one day, I don't want to sound ungrateful because I'm really super grateful that you've connected with me. But I asked to talk to animals, and I don't really know what to do with a talking tree. So can you help me? And she laughed at that, kind of like, you know, your grandparents laugh or the elders in your family giggle at our silliness. And she said, you're learning to recalibrate your energy and the animals will come, but this is part of the process. And, you know, now looking back, it's embarrassing. You know, I tell the story because it's funny, but it's embarrassing that I didn't have the foresight to understand what was happening and what she was sharing with me. So when I say I've been under the tutelage of the trees and the animals, I mean it. Like, I go to them for everything and to understand and get clarity. So sure enough, within a few weeks, animals started showing up. And I was like, oh my goodness, animals that I didn't know from the other side started showing up. And I wasn't sure what to do with them either. And then I was told, like, so it was kind of like, ha ha ha, you want animals, here you go. And then I was like, okay, well, now I don't know what to do with all these animals. And they walked me through it. You know, I am a do-it-yourselfer on everything. That's just how I was raised, how I was brought up, how I've moved through life. So it's how I worked out my intuitive abilities. It's how I worked out my connection with the trees and the animals. And I was just so excited that I could do that, you know. And so I was doing readings for folks, for trees, rocks, animals, all of this. And then people started saying, well, I want to know how to do that. And can you teach me how to do that? And I thought, well, I don't even know how I did it. So I had to go back in to the listening and go back to the animals and go back to the trees and ask them to take me through it slower and explain it to me so that I can explain it. Because I've learned if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, then you don't really understand it. So that's been my process of learning how to do it myself so that I could then teach people how to track energy. Because remember, this is all telepathic communication and subconscious messages that are being sent to you. So you have to work with both halves of your brain, both hemispheres of your brain. And you also have to begin to lean in and clear out your lack of confidence in your ability to be a conduit. You're pretty much just a big old antenna, but we have so much conditioning on top of it that says we're not. Mm-hmm. So we go blank and we don't believe ourselves and we don't believe what the cat just told us.
Yeah. I had an interesting experience this morning. I was having a piece of cake and I had my earphones on, my noise canceling earphones, and I was listening to something. And I realized that I couldn't really taste the cake. It occurred to me that the cake would probably taste really good if I didn't have my ears plugged with these noise canceling earphones. And I thought it was so perfect for today's talk because truly we are so, every sense we have now is so bombarded with stimuli that really it's amazing that we notice anything at all that is significant, because I, you know, it's like eating that piece of cake. I swear it would have tasted much better if I had had everything working.
And it does all work together. When it's moving, you can't necessarily distinguish one part from the other, but like you said, everything affects everything. Mm-hmm. And I love working in the energy. There's nothing better than going interdimensional. But when you find that sweet spot between the physical and the metaphysical, to me, that's where the magic happens. That's where the rubber hits the road. And so understanding, being able to track energy and pull together from what's coming through in your different senses to then piece it together. But what happens for most people is the intuitive messages come through the energy, so they hit you. And when they hit your field, it gets interpreted through the subconscious mind. And so symbols, images, sounds, colors, vibrations is what's going to come in. And then when you're balanced, the other side of the brain goes, oh, great, let me help put this together. And here's, you know, your own dictionary of what these things mean, coupled with what's outside in the world. But what happens for most people is that side of the brain shows up and goes, where'd you get this information? How do you know it's true? Let me see your documents. Who sent you? And the intuitive side of the brain goes running away. Oh my God, it's all freaked out. So we have to retrain our brain. There's a physical dimension that's going on of retraining our brain how to work with this energy. And what I love is, it matters that we're in this physical body. This physical body matters. And like you said, we're being bombarded. We're being bombarded with things we know and we don't know. Just things that we put in, on, or around us are going to affect our ability to receive messages. So many of the artificial sweeteners, the artificial colors, the preservatives, they act as neurotoxins to your brain. It scrambles it. It makes it like static. And so, you know, if you're already getting hit and miss messages, they're really going to be difficult. Then you look at, you know, the rest of your body, you know, are you getting enough of your minerals? Because this is an energetic, it's an electromagnetic system that's going on here. And just like in the way old days, we used to have batteries that you had to fill up with water to make sure that they could conduct the electricity. So your physical body, you got to make sure, what are you putting in, on, and around it? Are you keeping it hydrated so that all of these electromagnetic processes can actually take place? And then there's, you know, the mechanics of working with the natural realm. All of us in our modern day life are inundated with this, the synthetic environment, you know, whether it's waves of all different kinds, telephone, radio, all of that, the things you can see, the things you can't see, what they do is they pull from our body the negative ions because we're the largest organic matter in the vicinity. And so when you go outside and you connect, when you hang out with your dog, when you hang out with your cat, when you go outside into nature, you get flooded with those negative ions. And so you really are getting recharged. It's bringing you balance. And so it's important that you look at ways to take care of this conduit, this vehicle, not just so that you can have a long life, but so that you can be connected and have this exchange of energy between the animals, the rocks, the trees, the plants, other humans, whatever it is. And my team has told me from the beginning, this animal communication stuff, this is small potatoes. You humans have forgotten what you can do. Would you hurry up and remember how to talk to the dog so that we can get on with it?
Yeah, well, it makes so much sense because we're so separated. I know that you're doing a lot of different things. You work with the plants, as you said, and the trees. And I think there's so much incredible stuff happening now with plant consciousness that they're learning about. And I mean, I would love to hear some stories about some of the animal experiences you've had that have really brought home to you that this is more than just a pet or a random animal that's wandering around and has no use for me, you know, that I have no use for.
Right. Oh my goodness. There's so many great ones, but I think the biggest piece that is really, molded the way that I share what the animals and the plants and the trees and the rocks have shared with me have to do with the reflective qualities that come back. So we all know about the power of attraction, like attracts like. And so, you know, especially those of us who are connected with the animals, we see an animal in need. And before you know it, we've adopted them. They're our rescue animal. And so they came from this horrible situation. We may know about it. We may not know about it. And then the animal has these after effects that we're managing, whether it's physical conditions or psychological conditions. And we're really quick to be like, well, I just want to fix that. so that doesn't happen anymore. And what the animals have been very clear with me about is this specific thread of energy that's going on with me has more to do with you than you're even realizing. And there's something that's needing tending to within you. And I'm so committed. I love you so much. I'm so committed to this that I'm not going to let this go. And I'm not going to shift this, even if you promise to, you know, look at it. I'm not going to shift this till you really do something on that. So you see all of these issues in my own life. I had had some issues with my shoulders, and I had had a surgery on each of the shoulders. And I knew that that meant when I was having shoulder issues that I was taking too much on, that I was feeling like I was shouldering, you know, the weight of the world. And I had had several days where my shoulder was really bothering me. And so I did, you know, the sophisticated way of resisting and saying, oh, yes, I'll take that into my meditation and I'll look at that. Well, 3 days went by and I didn't take it into my meditation and I didn't look at it. And sure enough, my Great Dane at the time, Maddie Moose, was coming out of the truck and she fell and she landed on her front right shoulder. Now, for a Great Dane to be down and not to be able to use that leg, this is you're getting in horse territory there. And so I knew right away, oh my gosh, this is about, I know exactly what's going on. So of course I tended to her, made sure we didn't need to go to the vet or anything, got her comfortable. I work with a lot of plants and herbs and things like that, but I am not opposed to taking my animals to qualified medical intervention when that is needed. So I checked on her, everything was good, and I knew I needed to go sit my butt down and start listening. And I shifted some energy, I did some things like that. And I went out there, and I kid you not, she didn't even have so much as a lip after I did that. That was how quickly we were able to transmute that. And I mean, she came out of the back of a pickup truck onto cement. So this is one of those pieces where they've shown me how quickly when we look at it, when we look at, and it's not about the energy between you and the animal, it's about you in the whole world. How are you with your boundaries? How are you with taking too much on? How are you with worthiness? How do you, you know, those anxious animals, how do you get all anxious about the things that you can't control and you don't understand in life? And then you get anxious about their anxiousness. So they're always bringing us back to that balance. One time I was on a trip in Bali, and I was out by myself, and I was going through this park where there's a bunch of monkeys there. It's kind of like a monkey park. Anyway, so I was walking and I kept feeling this one monkey like calling for my attention. And I was like, okay, I'll play. And I was like, hi, how are you? And this was like an adolescent monkey, so younger, not older. And I was saying to the monkey, I don't really know how this monkey park works. You know, is there something that I do? Is there, because they had tour guides and all this, and I just wanted to be with it. And so I heard in my head, you need to bend down, kneel down, and I'll crawl up your arm. And I said, okay. And so I kneeled down, and sure enough, in 2 seconds, the monkey hopped up my arm and he was sitting on my shoulder. He's grooming me, checking me out, just sitting there and sharing a couple other things with me. And then I could stand up and walk around with him. It was a totally wild monkey, by the way. And I'm talking to him, I'm having this conversation. He goes, that's how it works. See, it's so easy. And it was like a little kid, like when you go someplace and a little kid is like, let me show you how, this is how it works. It's so easy. So after a while he goes, I'd like to get down. So I knelt back down and I let him go. And sure enough, within a few minutes, I walked past a tour group and the guy goes, the monkeys know that if you kneel down, they can climb on you. So I didn't even need a tour guide. And this is what happens when we connect in with the animals. But again, we want to second guess ourselves. That monkey didn't open his mouth like Mr. Ed and say, kneel down. You know, he gave me the thought in my head. And I knew at that point, of course, I know this is who I'm talking to, just like I'm talking to you. But when you're developing that muscle, you don't always know that. So you have to create little containers that you can trust. And, you know, like that would have been a perfect little experiment for anyone to be able to do. But when we tune in, they share it with the information with us telepathically. So it might come in a voice that you hear inside or outside. It might be something you see in your mind's eye. It might be, I oftentimes see like holographic overlays on the 3D when I'm seeing animals, when I'm seeing humans that have crossed over. It just kind of depends how they're going to, and each being is different in how they prefer to come through. Sometimes it, for most people, it will hit one of your senses and then immediately hit the other sense, but we're not trained. Like this happened, James and my beloved and I were out for lunch yesterday and we were sitting in a restaurant, an older restaurant, and we were talking about this fireplace that they painted over a brick fireplace. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. And so we're talking and all of a sudden I hear someone talking in my ear and there's no one there because we're the only ones in this section. So I keep talking and then all of a sudden I just turn my head really fast and James is like, what's going on over there? What's going on? Because he's used to this now. And I said, well, there's someone here. And so I heard the voice. And then as soon as I start asking the questions, like, who is this? Then I'll get the vision of who it was. So I never saw him physically there, but I saw him in my mind's eye. It was a smaller statured man. And he was actually the man who worked on the fireplace. And he was commiserating with me about, oh, I'm so glad you think so too. It was such a beautiful fireplace. And he turned out to be like this kind of chatty person that would like really talk your ear off. And I was still kind of startled. And because I just, you know, I'm pretty normal, you know, but other things talk to me. And normally it doesn't startle me, but he caught me off guard for some reason. And so when he found out, when he realized that I had been started, he felt so bad. And then he didn't talk for a long time. And I was like, no, it's not like that. It's just, you just threw me off for a second. And then he started talking again and wouldn't stop. So what I found is we just need to learn how to attune ourselves to the energy, because really talking to an animal, talking to a tree, talking to a rock, talking to a grandmother or a partner who's crossed over, it's all the same energetic freeway. It's just different exits.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I found is those kind of things come in so fast and it's almost like they're bouncing off of the brain's atmosphere and they're so fast and they're so fleeting that unless, I guess it's the train, you know, you're trained to catch those flashes and realize that they have a meaning, they are gone so fast that it's like they never happened in the first place. And you just kind of go on in oblivion.
And you do. You learn how to train yourself. And we learn that this time, like, you know, we started however many minutes ago we started and now it's this time. That's all bogus. That's just made up. It's not real. And so I could go back and connect with him and have a conversation with him more now if I have more questions. Mm-hmm. And that's true for your animals. So my favorite thing that my Great Dane Maddie Moose taught me when she transitioned, because we all know as animal lovers and that huge connection, that's the worst part of the whole deal. And yet nothing dies. It lives on. It's a different way. And so Maddie was teaching me how to be in the energy and connect with them when they pass, because it is different. And so what happens to us is they come through the energy and we get the hit, but it comes through like a memory or, you know, or maybe you come across a toy or fur or something and you have that split second of happiness because you're remembering them. And immediately it turns to the sad story about how they're gone. And what, there's nothing wrong with us. That's just how we're wired. But the thing is they're making a connection through the energy. They had to put a lot of work into that. Mm-hmm. And then we totally dismiss it.
Yes.
And if we would instead say, you know, catch yourself, because you got to retrain yourself. Thank you for that. I recognize you. I want to see you more. They'll start to do it more and more. And one thing that Maddie had taught me was, you know, when they're still embodied, and we know they're in the room, even though we don't see them, it's the same thing. We practice that because you're interacting with their energy, which has changed in that space, but they want to keep working with you. And oftentimes, it's so funny because, you know, when they're in their little bodies, they've got primal instincts just like we do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they're like, well, meet me by the tree. Cabinet, or, you know, you'll hear me shake my ears, or you'll hear my, my chains jingle. But again, we're laying in bed going, oh, you know, Daisy, da 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 da. And then we're like, oh no, Daisy, it's not Daisy. And then we go into the sad story and we take ourselves out of that vibration. And that can absolutely stop any kind of communication.
Yeah, changes the vibe. Why do you think people are so reluctant to see animals as more than what we've traditionally thought of them to be?
Well, it's all about our separation. There's a lot of karmic lessons in there. I mean, we can ask the same question. Why do people think that different skin shades mean a damn thing, you know? And yet here we are in this day and age still trying to show with science that it means nothing. Yeah. It means absolutely nothing. And so as humans, left to our own devices, that base level aspects of survival, we're so in the separation. And, you know, I'm a world traveler. I love meeting new people and cultures, but it's also heartbreaking too, because, you know, at my house, every being, including the insects, like, are treated with honor and respect all of the time. And that's very different than what's going on around the world. And we have to remember too, when you don't know where you're going to get resources to feed your children, it's really hard to worry about your goat or your cow or your bird or your whatever. And it shouldn't be a hierarchy like that, but our human mind separates it like that. And then that's also how we just get by. You know, there are all these old stories. But what I find even more fascinating, again, like everything's sacred here at our place, but there's a lot of karmic stuff involved in there. Those of us who treat our animals like kings and queens, we haven't always done that. You know, we had lives where we weren't that enlightened. We didn't understand that. We also had many others where we did, but some of us are making up for some karmic things that, not some of us, all of us are making up for some karmic things. And so this is really this human condition of, you know, it's easier to separate yourself, have that dissonance between you and the pain in the world. I mean, there's enough pain in the world if we just look at the human condition without adding the plants, the trees, the earth herself, the animals. And so it really is a survival tactic for a lot of people to be like, that's just an animal. And in this world, if you do it in the old paradigm way, you need to be disconnected from your emotions, from that heart space. Right. And once you realize that connection, you can't undo that. So it's an evolutionary thing. It's a consciousness aspect. And so what we have to do as the tribes that do remember this connection, that are experiencing this connection, we continue to gather. We continue to live our lives that way. And that example begins to, you know, overflow to the others. And, you know, we're definitely at a point in our history where when people see an animal in need, somebody comes forward and does something. It's not like it used to be. So there's a lot, we have so much more to do on this planet and so much suffering to alleviate. And yet at the same time, there's so much good and so many hearts like those who've gathered here who do anything and everything they can to change the plight of animals around the world and trees and rocks and biosystems and things like that. So it's good news in the end, but there's plenty of examples for how much clearing we still need to do.
Yeah. No, I totally agree that we've come a long way and there's more good going on than bad. We just don't hear about it through the mainstream because it's not a bestseller. So yeah, I totally agree with that. Tell me more about the plants. I know that you have plant music on your website, and I just think that's incredible. There was a book that I started reading. It's called The Hidden Life of Trees, and it just, the way they take care of each other, the way they talk to each other, the whole mycelium layer that they communicate through. I mean, it just was fascinating, and now they have the music that the plants make, that I know you have a sample on your website.
Yeah. So this is the fascinating thing. All of these aspects are coming to light. And, you know, we've got scientists. That one was written by a forester. I love that book. And it gave a lot of examples. And I read that book after I had been, the trees had called me back in to work with them. And so I spent 2 years learning different processes with them, and they were explaining different things. And they all pointed to the same findings that were in that book. But I never read that book until about a year and a half after I did the course, because they told me, we're going to give you information. And so I know then to stop researching, because I don't want anything to be affected by that. So I won't read, which is hard for me. I'll read other things. And I won't research. And sure enough, it came back to pointing to those things about the interconnectedness of everything. So the trees, anything in the natural world, first of all, is, like we were saying earlier, those negative ions. And so when you're out there, they're constantly emitting those, which are so great. But they're also always emitting frequencies, tones, and sounds that are outside of the audible range for us humans to hear. Now, in Italy, in a small eco-conscious community called Domenher in northern Italy, they've been studying plant consciousness and intelligence for decades. And they actually devised a machine that you hook up to the plant or the tree. I always ask permission, because, you know, can you imagine coming up to you and putting stuff on you without asking? We're learning slowly, but the trees always say we're kind of like toddlers. We don't have all our manners all the time. So always ask permission. But there's a little probe that goes into the ground wherever their dirt is. And then there's a clip that won't harm them that you clip onto a leaf. And then it reads the bioenergetic field of the plant, and it translates it into audible musical tones that we can hear. So when you play the music, it doesn't sound like music that we know. It's kind of alien sounding, but it is the plant itself is choosing, and they can choose more than one note at a time. Most of the plants that I do the recordings of, it's catching that song that they're singing, and you see similar songs between the species and stuff. They'll be a little bit different, but there's kind of a pattern that you'll see. And then I've been witness to the person who taught me about all of this, Peter Mann, the Sonic Apothecary. I've been present when I've watched a plant interact with a vocalist or a musician. So the vocalist would hit certain notes, or the musician would hit certain notes, and the plant would mimic it back. I kid you not, it will like stop you in your tracks. Everything is, you're like, nothing I know is the same anymore as this. And I was like, we got to get all the plants to hear this. And that's when they explained to me, we already hear it all the time. You guys are the ones who need to hear this. And it's phenomenal. Just like, you know, there's humans and there's animals who are performers or athletes. It's the same thing in the plant world. There are plants that want to perform. There are plants that want to be the ambassador. And then there are plants that want to be left the hell alone. You know, I know some grumpy old trees that are like, no, I don't want to work with you. Leave me alone. And okay. You know, so it's fun that way. But we learn, again, everything comes back to there's more going on than meets the eye. And what they did with this plant music that was so phenomenal is they did some studies in some Italian hospitals. So they would hook a regular house plant up to the machine, and it would play the music. And they found that the patients who were exposed to the plant music were healed and released 3 days sooner than the people who weren't exposed to the plant music. So these are, and I'm not dissing plants, but these are just house plants that they're playing. So I have my own line of CBD, which is cannabis, but without the psychoactive. So it's all healing, no high. So I have recorded the plant music of my mother plants. And then my grower plays that music to the seedlings, so that they remember who they are and what they do. And again, these are specific plants for specific kinds of healing. So whenever people purchase my CBD, they get the music of that plant as well, because it goes, it works together, because we're shifting from doing things to the animals in nature and taking from them to being in collaboration. These are master healers, these plants. They know so, they are what run our entire planet. They keep everything going, and we have dismissed them and abused them in so many ways. And this, they're excited for us to remember this, because when you experience that, you don't forget that, and it brings you back into that unity consciousness. It's phenomenal. It's so exciting. And it's happening all the time. We just, gardeners know it. They've experienced it, whether they could put their finger on what it was or not.
Yeah. I just think it is mind-boggling how much we don't know. So I'm super excited to bring people like you out to be heard on, you know, a retreat like mine, so people can have the experience of hearing your stories that otherwise they would think were just some kind of made up thing that somebody wrote or dreamed about. But it's really incredible. And I do think that that's a big part of our measuring of intelligence and consciousness is so limited that we don't even know how to access what is going on out there. I know I've used up a lot of your time, and I want to give you a chance to, I know you have something that you're offering the people that have come to listen. I would also like to point out that Ana Maria has a website called intentiontraining.com that you can go to. She's got amazing, amazing courses, and she has a lot of free content, and it's definitely worth checking out. And tell us about what you're gifting to everybody. It's really wonderful.
Well, this is specifically for the folks who are resonating with this conversation that are like, yes, I know that, even if I don't know how I know that. And so I've got the top 5 ways to connect with animals in nature, because I believe when we bring it back to foundations, that it allows us to connect in deeper and then open up even more. And so for those of us who have that connection with the animals in nature, this is the way to go to access that energetic superhighway. And so I take you through the basics of the top 5 things that I think are so most important in connecting and establishing. And like that tree was explaining to me, I was recalibrating my energy system. These are the things that you do working mind, body, and spirit to have that done. So it's an audio and a PDF so that they can walk through and access any resources that I mention. And so thank you for putting this retreat together where we can have these conversations and then, you know, allowing me to offer this free gift so people can go even deeper.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I'm going to get it. Definitely. Yeah. So it's been so
great. That will also put you on my mailing list so that you can stay up to date with all of these adventures that I share and the different ways. So thank you again for creating this space, because that word retreat, even, it's so important for us to go within and be in the listening. And that's what the trees and the animals have told me over and over. So well done.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for participating. And, you know, it's a real gift to everybody that's come to listen to have you be here. So I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Here we grow again.
Thank you for listening to Hello Animal Talks, hosted by me, Jenny Worthington, production by Stacy Spencer of Going Graphic, sound engineered by Jimmy Richards of Bay Central Media, and music written and performed by Jake Shepard.